All right, good afternoon, everybody. This is the April 4th, 2018 afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Thank you all for being here. Carla, please call the roll.
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Udaly.
Here.
Fitz.
Here.
Wheeler.
Here. Carla, could you please read items 325 through 328, please?
325, adopt the Central City 2035 Plan, Volume 2A, Part 3, Environmental and Scenic, amend the Portland Zoning Map and Portland Zoning Codes for Environmental Overlay Zones and Scenic Resource Zones. Section 326, adopt the Central City 2035 Plan, Volume 2A, Part 3, Environmental and Scenic, amend the Portland Zoning Map and Portland Zoning Codes for Environmental Overlay Zones and Scenic Resource Zones. 327, adopt the Central City 2035 Plan, Action Charts, Performance Targets, and Urban Design Diagrams. And 328, adopt the Central City 2035 Plan, Green Loop Concept Report.
Thank you, Carla. And obviously, we're here this afternoon to continue our work on the Central City 2035 plan. Sally, would you like to go ahead and introduce today's session for us?
Yes, thank you very much. So we have three main things for you today. We issued a packet for you last Thursday, modified it slightly on Monday, and that's the packet that you have in front of you. Today we also have a new mini packet that has a blue voting guide on the front that says revised, and then there is a document on the back that's called Central City Block 33 City Council Amendments. So today we'll start with part one, which relates to discussing and voting on amendments related to Block 33. We also have on the agenda an item related to the Portland Public Schools, but that memorandum of understanding isn't complete yet, so we'll be coming back next week to talk about that. So part one will only include the Block 33 items. Part two will move to top of bank. We split the original amendment into two parts. E1 relates to the measure of the top of bank around structures, E2 to commentary around the default top of bank.
Our office was advised by the mayor's office that those had been withdrawn?
That's my understanding as well.
Okay.
So that will need to be, you'll need to formally withdraw them.
Okay.
And part three, we have a very few new amendments that we consider to be technical and minor related to the North Pearl Opportunity Area, bird safe glazing, and the transfer of FAR from historic structures. And we'll need to have a public hearing on those items. So we did send this out last week, and I'm not sure who we have signed up for that yet. But we'll have to start by moving and seconding those items and then holding the hearing.
Can I ask you a question? It's, we've been dealing with so much stuff recently of a land use quality. When is the last time that we would be able to consider any amendments to 2035?
We have a meeting scheduled for April 11th,
okay.
Where we will be voting on the items in Part 3. That's the last time that we currently have scheduled for individual amendments. We do plan to come back on, once we complete this, we are going to compile a new revised Central City 2035 plan and ordinances and findings and bring that back to you on May 24th.
And is there a scenario on May 24th, right? And if for some reason there was an additional item that the council wanted to take up by way of an amendment, is it germane, could it be brought up on that day, or is that too late?
If staff's coming back with findings, then you would need to delay coming back with findings to reflect that amendment. So it could be further delayed for the purposes of preparing findings. And then additionally, depending on the substance of that amendment, it may or may not require additional public testimony. If it relates to something that you've already taken testimony on, you may not need to notify and provide more testimony.
But our goal is to have a vote on everything else by on May 24th.
That's right, and then a final vote on June 6th.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Very good. All right. Oh, sorry, Commissioner Saltzman. Go ahead.
Well, I just had a question. You list on Block 33, you list Mayor Wheeler's amendment and then my amendment. I guess it seems like we should take my amendment in first, because if that doesn't pass, then we go to Mayor Wheeler's amendment.
So, Commissioner Saltzman, we understand there may be an additional amendment and then a modification to your amendment today.
Right. But I still think they should happen before we consider Mayor Wheeler's amendment.
With one caveat, I have an amendment that is for which this would be the first reading. So I'd want some advice from staff, but wouldn't we first have to have a reading of my amendment and a chance for the council to be aware of it before we took votes on the other amendments, since my amendment is an amendment to whichever amendment ultimately passes?
Yes. We have a proposed procedure to walk through all of the Block 33 items. And so, Mayor Wheeler, I would recommend
that
you work through
that. Yeah, so this will get complicated very quickly. So bear with me. I know you will all ask questions if at any point this isn't self-evident, and that includes me, by the way. So obviously we're starting with Block 33, and as the commissioner just pointed out at the last meeting, I offered up an amendment referred to as C1 here on the blue voting guide. That amendment increased the height on the western half of Block 33 from 125 to 160 feet. During the same hearing, Commissioner Saltzman then offered his amendment, which we referred to as C2 in this guide. His amendment increased the maximum building height from 125 to 200 feet on the western half of the block. It increased FAR from 6:1 to 9:1, and it exempted Block 33 from the historic resource review for both FAR and height. So those two are currently on the table. Commissioner Fish, you have an amendment. This would be an appropriate time for you to offer it up.
And I also have an amendment to my amendment.
And so let's let Nick do his, and then we'll get to you.
Yeah,
next.
And thank you, Mayor. And the purpose is to put my amendment on the table, have staff explain my amendment, and then we can decide procedurally how this all fits together. So I move my amendment, which provides the Fish Amendment would allow the height increase to 160 feet on the western half of the block, but only through a bonus. In other words, we would apply the same bonus system that currently exists everywhere else downtown other than the historic district. And the bonus would operate with our existing rules, which in this case would say that you get the extra height if you deliver desperately needed affordable housing. So I offer that amendment.
Very good. And I'll second this. We'll call that amendment C3. Commissioner Saltzman, I understand you have a modification to C2.
Yes. Thank you, Mayor. Well, two things. I wanted to maybe do the same thing as Fisher's amendment just did, and that was to allow the 200-foot and FAR of 9:1 are earned only if all development above the ground floor on the western half of the block is residential, which
sounds like
the same thing we just adopted.
Similar. Okay. So we'll have you walk us through.
And then I'm also I want to amend my amendment to remove the exemptions from the historic review process. So in other words, this project would be subject to full design and historic review. I had heard at the last hearing that somehow the Landmarks Commission had taken a position on this project prior to it coming before it, and that was wrong. So what I heard was incorrect. So that's why I'm proposing to delete my exemption from the historic review process.
Very good. I will second that. We'll call this amendment C2 as amended. Does anybody else have any further amendments? that they want to add, Commissioner Daly?
Oh, I feel a little left out, but no. I'm not going to add any amendments to this.
Not to this point. So, Mayor, can I ask staff to walk us through my amendment? It's on the
Commissioner
table.
Commissioner Fish.
And I want to, because Commissioner Saltzman, I think, is prepared to accept conceptually the same framework for his amendment, I want to make sure we're actually talking apples and apples and have staff walk us through how this would work. So take it away.
Okay. Thank you. Rachel Hoy with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. And I'm going to flip through a couple slides here to get to your proposed amendment, Commissioner Fish. Okay. So, and also the packet that we provided that you have, cover page says Block 33, City Council Amendments. There's a write-up of each of these amendments. So Commissioner Fish's amendment starts on page 6, if you want to take a look at that as well. So the Commissioner Fish, your amendment is to similar to Mayor Wheeler's amendment. It maintains the height at 125 feet on the site. The difference is the increase in height that you're proposing to 160 on the west side of the block could be earned through bonus height. And so that proposal, as you said, is consistent with the way we've increased height through the Central City 2035 project. When we've increased height across the Central City, it's been through our bonus height system, and that is in an effort to ensure there's a public benefit associated with that increased height. So your amendment is increasing from 125 to 160 on the western side of the block using the bonus height system, as well as the bonus that they would be required to use would be the affordable housing bonus. So there's an extra level. We have a very small number of bonuses. There's the affordable housing bonus, but there's also the option of transferring FAR from a historic resource. In this particular case, this would ensure that they would be using the affordable housing bonus to obtain that bonus height.
And they would not be able to use the historic resource bonus?
The way that this has been proposed, no. It would be they would be required to go to the affordable housing bonus first.
And where is the bonus that transfers from historic resources? How far away from the historic resources is it allowed to be transferred to?
Well, if they needed more FAR, that would just be a secondary bonus or transfer that they could go to. For this particular case, to obtain that bonus height up to the 160, the proposal just says you need to go to the affordable housing bonus first.
And then they could go to the historic resource transfer after that?
Beyond that, they could if they needed to.
But for the transferring site, how far away from the transferring site can the bonus be transferred to?
The way we've set it up in Central City 2035, the historic resource transfer, there is no it's anywhere in the Central City. There's no distance parameter. Yeah.
So, colleagues, in our last hearing, we had conflicting testimony about whether we should allow the additional height, and there were eloquent concerns raised on cases made on both sides of that issue. What I also heard the neighborhood say, to the extent there were neighborhood folks who testified in support of the additional height, that they wanted to see some development and they would prefer to see some residential development. As I tried to work through this, what I think is a close call, I went to staff and got a little primer on, you know, what our rules are generally in the downtown, and then learned that we don't have this same system that applies within a historic district. Because I think if we're going to increase height, we need to have a clear public benefit that flows back. I asked them to consider essentially doing a pilot where we applied the same rules that we apply throughout the district on this site as the quid pro quo for allowing for the additional height. And that's the proposal the staff has come back with.
So I have a couple of questions, and if anybody has any more questions specific to Commissioner Fish's amendment, I don't want to derail a good conversation, but I have sort of a question about this amendment and Commissioner Saltzman's amendment. So part of what we are trying to do, just thinking bigger picture here, we're obviously trying through both of these amendments to ensure to the degree that we can that housing is part of the picture. These are subject to inclusionary housing. And we are trying to bring some consistency to a district that isn't very consistent based on sort of my quick appraisal of where we are. The north part of the district was at 350 previously, and our initial attempt was to bring the 350 on the north side down to 160 so that it would be consistent with adjacent properties. It's my understanding that in the historic district, not that long ago, a building was built to 200 feet, and through this process, we were raising the height on the south part, including block 33, from 100 to 125. And that precipitated my amendment was, let's get it at least to 160 so that we have consistency. I actually like Commissioner Saltzman's amendment insofar as it gives flexibility. I would not have supported it if it included the provision that it would bypass the historic review. I don't think that's appropriate, but it turns out I think that's not consistent with statute. And so that's off the table per the conversation. But I also want to be clear if, and I'm expressing absolutely if, we go to 200 on block 33. There is another block that we have already proposed lowering from the 350 to 160 that we would need to raise to 200 in order to preserve that consistency. That was a lot of talking, but is that approximately correct in terms of where we were historically, what we are attempting to do, and what would be required?
That's correct. I mean, to treat both of these height changes in the district consistently, we would do just what you said.
So walk me through a scenario. And let's just say we went to 200 for discussion purposes. It goes through the historic review process. And what does that look like? Walk me through that fairly quickly. What would be the likely outcome of that conversation?
Well, it would be a Type 3 review. It would go through to the Landmarks Commission, and they would apply the recently adopted standards and guidelines that we've created for the Chinatown District. If it was an approvable project from their point of view, they would recommend that to City Council, or they would have the final decision. If they do not, if they turn it down, then on appeal, it would come back to you all for consideration.
Okay, so here's a question I have. So we had some very honorable people from the Historic Commission come in, and they testified in opposition to some of the proposed amendments. But upon doing my research in the last week, it appears that buildings have already been approved at 200 feet in the district.
I don't believe it's 200, but
Brandon Spencer Hartle, so. Historic Resource Program Manager at BPS. Our understanding is the tallest building in the district is about 160 feet,
160.
Which was at the north end of the district, a datum that we used to come forward with that decision so that it would be consistent with that tallest approved building, no taller than it, so that it sort of sets that baseline.
So tell me about the historic designation, because there's been some statements made about what would happen to the historic district if we did certain things. And the legal counsel for the proposed development at Block 33 had said that there were no districts that had been jeopardized by this. They pointed out historic documents for the formation of the district, which actually suggested much greater heights. Mention was made of the fact that for many years, the north part of the district has already allowed 350 as part of its height restrictions. And we got a fairly mushy response back from the state when we put this question to them. So it doesn't seem to me there's really any definitive evidence or even any anecdotal evidence that we would be putting the historic district at risk.
So I'll jump in with a quick history. When this district was listed in the National Register of Historic Places in 1989, it was listed by the National Park Service, not by the City Council. And in Oregon, we're somewhat unique in the country that we honor the National Register listing with land use protections that apply upon designation. So in the case of Chinatown, when that district was listed in the National Register, it automatically got land use protections that still today exist. Those are basically demolition review and historic resource review. When you put together a nomination for one of these districts, you sort of explain the case as it is at the time. And so the zoning was mentioned in the National Register nomination, not sort of agnostic to whether or not that would be built, but saying today in this district, this is the zoning. In terms of the historic resource review process that the Landmarks Commission will administer on sites in the district that are subject to it, their charge is really to approve projects that do no harm to the historic district. And so in their review, they're using design guidelines and using their best sort of professional judgment to determine whether or not a proposal can be approvable and not harm the district. So there's somewhat of a gray area line in a historic district for any historic resource where if too much change occurs and the qualities that made it historic at the time of designation are lost, then it could be subject to a nomination to delist. It would not happen because of a zoning decision. It would be the sort of, let's say, death by a thousand cuts for any historic resource. If you take out all the windows and siding and change the roof of a historic house, it would probably be a good candidate for delisting. But that occurs sort of in real time, and it's the on-the-ground evidence that the Park Service would use.
And that's not what's proposed here, is my understanding at all. What I did read into the response from the state was the message around consistency. And it feels to me like, I'll just walk through the Saltzman Amendment, just since we talked about that most recently. If we do that at 200, as I say, we would have to be consistent on the block adjacent on the north side, which we are bringing down from 350 originally to 160 based on some other height. We would raise that to 200, so the north side would then be consistent with what we're doing here on blocks 33 to the south side. That seems to meet the consistency standard that's being proffered by the state. Yes, no?
Well, you know, I think the consistency with what is the part of the vagary of the state's response. And I believe what they were talking about is the character of the district. So it's built form. That's typically what these landmark districts are about. This one's actually a cultural district as much as a built form, a physical district. So that adds to the gray quality of being able to judge it. I don't know that it would make much difference to the state if there was 200 possible there and a 200-foot building came in. They would look at the 200-foot building. They'd look at its responsiveness. I think the argument would go more the responsiveness to the guidelines, the debate that takes place during the review process, or the critique that Landmarks does. And then if it was turned down and appealed to City Council, you all would have your own shot at that kind of discussion and consideration of the guidelines, what you perceive as, or what you want to, how you want to characterize the district, and how the way this is designed you feel is consistent with the district.
So
does that make sense?
That does. That's actually very helpful context for me. Sorry to be absorbing this on the fly, but it's important nuance for me to understand. So fundamentally, from that perspective, given the important role of the Historic Commission, the work we're doing here, 160 versus 200, with different FAR and affordable housing requirements, which are effectively parallel, I don't see how it impacts the historic district one way or the other. There's still an opportunity through the Historic Commission to address those other issues you mentioned, taking away windows or historical treatment or whatever else. Those are architectural questions.
Yes.
This is a zoning exercise.
The Landmarks Commission will see the building that's built under this zoning and make a judgment there around the actual building design and proposal. And if, as I said, if they can't approve it, you all will see the same building proposal. The zoning just really entitles you to try to design a building that will be appropriate
so
for the district.
So if they came to the conclusion, since Commissioner Saltzman, for example, has withdrawn his
exemption.
His exemption in the amendment for the historic review process, that is the check and balance. It's the historic commission.
Correct.
Unless we chose to overturn it.
And just in this Central City Plan, part of how we got into this circumstance is we, over the years, have created some historic districts in the Central City and never right-sized the height for what, given, you know, the sideboards of what the what might be an acceptable height. And that was causing a great deal of changing the goalposts for developers. So we wanted to, and putting pressure on the design on the Landmarks Commission. So we wanted to bring down the height so it's closer to what's reasonable. 300 to 160 brought it down within that realm. 200 and 160 is not of the same order of magnitude, Mayor, honestly. And we're going to set a new datum. It's 200 under this amendment. This is the opportunity for a developer and a designer to come in with a building that rocks the guidelines and fits in with the compatibility of the district. And to the extent that that's possible, Landmarks has a say. To the extent that they need to pass it on, you all will have the final say.
That's what we've been trying to do throughout this Central City project, is to look at what's reasonable to expect, so that if you have a good design, the height is such that it's going to be compatible. If you look at the back page of the handout we got, this block is literally surrounded on three sides by 100 feet. So if you have a building that's double the size of the buildings on three sides, it seems to me very challenging to make it compatible.
One more piece of information, Commissioner, is early on in this process, we solicited advice from the Landmarks Commission about what they thought was appropriate heights in the Central City Historic Districts. And generally what we recommended and what's before you in the kind of final version of the Staff and Planning Commission plan are heights that are slightly taller than what the Landmarks Commission had asked us for. And the thought there was, even though the commission was feeling that being conservative with height would make their job most clear, or negotiations with property owners and development teams most clear, we wanted to leave a little bit of room for proposals that maybe step back a building or do a wedding cake or apply a different design strategy. And that's what we generally advocated for through the process was, let's take into account the historic district, but let's not necessarily just match the historic buildings. Let's leave a little bit of wiggle room. How much wiggle room? That's where this debate exists.
So we've already gone from 100 to 125. That's what the previous compromise was. So now we're compromising from the compromise.
Mm-hmm. But in the checks and balances are still there, but that is absolutely true, Commissioner.
Is there another historic district that is specific to a cultural group within Portland?
There is not one on the National Register or local historic district. Some of our conservation districts have significance for the sort of African-American experience, but they're not quite the same as a historic district.
Right. So I want to call to your attention, colleagues, a message that email we got this morning, which you may not have time to have seen, 1035 from Terry Chung, who says, the 2035 plans were developed over years by the community to allow increased heights from 100 feet to 125 feet on Block 33, with the intent to have the Landmark Commission's guidance in preserving the character of the neighborhood to a respectful manner. This was the agreed decision by the community after much discussion. This current proposal to increase the heights on the west side of Block 33 circumvents the committee's original intent. While the developer has stated he has worked with the Old Town Community Association, he has not convinced all the board members, nor has he the full support of the full neighborhood, that this plan, as proposed, meets the original intent of the board. I understand that the developer faces many challenges, but so does the community for its preservation of time and place for the Chinese and Japanese community. And he says, Terry Chung says, as part of the community and neighborhood revitalization, I am a founding member of the Portland Chinatown History Foundation. We are in the midst of creating a museum in the former Keita building at 3rd and Davis Street. I've also heard from the executive director of the Lansu Chinese Garden and others in the district who are very concerned about the potential disruption to the cultural place and the historic district that is vital for the Chinese and Japanese communities here in Portland.
Mayor Wheeler?
Commissioner Fish.
So this is a continuation of what was a fascinating discussion and hearing last time, and I thought one of the more interesting conversations we've had. So I want to go back, and thank you, by the way, Mayor, for the procedure that you've, under your tenure, you've established around land use decisions, where we actually take the time to discuss and debate, actually, before we take the vote. The vote is a blunt force instrument.
I appreciate
the fact that you allow for the discussion before the vote, because I actually think it allows for a more transparent process
The
public.
Thanks, Nick. I appreciate that.
So I want to go back to the principles that framed my consideration of this. First, we have a historic district that we've set established guidelines for, and we have made commitments about what we are or are not going to do within the district. Two, we have the fact that Block 33 is essentially blighted and has not been developed for a long time, and there is a yearning, not just from the people we heard testify, but others, that they'd like to see some development on that site. I think we all share that. Number three, when we are giving an owner a significant benefit, in this case, additional height or FAR or both, I think we have a right to ask for some public benefit back. And so my amendment, which I hope we can clarify would apply, could be adopted as an amendment both to the Wheeler Amendment and to the Saltzman Amendment. So we have the two choices before us. My amendment ensures that this additional height and the benefit we're giving an owner is treated just as we would treat any other development within the downtown outside of a historic district. It would be subject to a bonus system, and we would have the benefit of some affordable housing. Mayor, I hope you're not withdrawing the Wheeler Amendment, because I found you very persuasive last week, and we have not had a follow-up conversation, but I intend to support the Wheeler Amendment as amended by the Fish Amendment. But I would ask that you consider clarifying that both your amendment and Dan's are subject to the Fish Amendment, and then the council has a choice to make.
Well, I think that's right, Commissioner.
And so, Dan, we need a vote to just say that the Fish Amendment amends both of the amendments before us, Wheeler and Saltzman, and then Mayor, you decide the sequence of the vote.
In terms of sequence, I think what I would do is offer up Dan's first, which was C2. If that fails, I would then offer
C3.
I'm sorry, C3.
Excuse me, C2 as amended.
C2 as amended. I would then go back to mine, which was sort of the baseline, which was C1, and I'd do yours last, because if yours passes, that would supersede mine in the process. Is that correct, legal counsel?
No.
Yeah, not quite.
Not quite.
Okay, so from legal counsel, explain to me. If we do Dan's first, it supersedes the other two, correct?
So whichever one is done last, is it, to the extent it conflicts or changes provisions that were in the earlier amendments, that will be the controlling one.
Ah, okay.
And so that's one thing to think about. The other thing the council can think about is if they're able to articulate what that amendment is, we can just create a new amendment that reflects the current consensus of the council.
Okay, can I simplify this for us? I'm agnostic as to which order you go, but it seems to me that the first order of business is to agree that the Fish Amendment amends both of the main amendments on the table, and then you can decide what.
So that is not my call. The amendment was proffered by Commissioner Saltzman. It's up to him to decide whether he accepts that premise.
Yeah, Yes, I do accept that permit.
So I think we're in agreement on that then.
So is the height 200 or 160?
Well, under my amendment, it's 200. But
okay, legal counsel is looking twitchy over there, so let's make sure we get this right.
I just want to make sure I'm clear, because Commissioner Fritz, Fish, I have increased height to 160 through the bonus height and then require the owner to use affordable
okay,
housing.
Okay, so for purposes of keeping this clean, I would offer my amendment as simply requiring that any height above 125 feet be subject to the housing bonus. That keeps it clean, and the council then can decide what height they want. Is there a second?
Second.
So we have a motion and a second.
And my intent is to modify both amendments on the table.
Very good. That provides parallel language on C2 as well as, C2 is amended as well as C3.
Dan, is that acceptable?
Yes.
Okay. So let's call the vote on that.
Okay, good. So now the next question, and legal counsel, I'm looking to you again. The last one that gets a majority of votes wins, correct? Very good.
So can we take a vote on my amendment first?
Commissioner Fish, we will take a motion, a vote on the amendment as provided by Commissioner Fish. Please call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
No, because I think that the first bonus adjacent to a historic district might need to be transferred from the historic district. Also, I'm not going to support any height over 125 because that's already an increase in the height. There was a development that was waiting to develop at 125 and was waiting for this 125 to pass. So essentially what we're debating here is how much bonus to give to an owner of a surface parking lot. And I think that just rewards owners of surface parking lots to hold out for as much as they can. No.
Wheeler.
I vote aye. The amendment is adopted. So next, colleagues, we can go. I will hold C1 in abeyance, and I will publicly state that I will withdraw it if either C2 is amended or C3 pass. But well, I want to hold that as a backstop to doing nothing.
Yeah. Okay. And I'll just clarify for the council, I think Commissioner Fish's amendment amended both C1 and C2 as amended. So C2 has now been amended twice, both by Commissioner Saltzman as well as by Commissioner Fish.
And C2 as amended has
been
amended.
Yeah, so Commissioner Fish,
so it's all three.
There are
two.
C1 and C2. C2 being amended twice, and then Commissioner Fish, did you withdraw C3? Or
yes, currently we have the Wheeler amendment and Dan's amendment, which is C2 as amended twice.
And then you
and
formally
the mayor now gets to decide which one goes first.
And can you, yeah, would you mind just stating for the record that you withdrew C3?
Withdrawn.
Thank you.
C3.
Thank you.
Okay, so that leaves, just so I'm not completely confused, C2 now twice amended,
yes.
Once by Dan, once by Commissioner Fish.
Perfect, yes.
That leaves C1 on the table.
Correct.
Along with
that's it. That's
C2
it.
Is amended, C3 is now gone. It has been withdrawn by Commissioner Fish. Let's go to C2 as amended twice. Call the roll.
Could I offer a
Commissioner Saltzman.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Before we vote. Thank you, Mayor. So to me, what sways me and justifies in my mind the additional height increase from 125 to 200 is the substantial additional yield of affordable housing units. As we heard in testimony when we had the public hearing, developing at 200 feet produces an extra 40 affordable units. And it produces an extra, at 125, I believe, it produces an extra, I'm a little confused here, but the delta, the number of increased affordable housing units from, I think, 160 to 200 is about 40 additional units. And then the total number of apartments, I believe under the 200 feet, is 342 apartments versus 199. And that was all public testimony that was given last week by, I believe, an architect working with the developer. And I found those numbers to be substantial. And I think, you know, in a time of a housing crisis, we need to be doing all we can to accommodate more affordable housing. And I think this is one way to do that. But I was also, I have to say quite honestly, I was struck when I, it was a week ago tonight, I was driving with my partner to go to dinner someplace, actually on the east side of the river, but we were going down Southwest 4th and Northwest 4th. And it was around 6 o'clock, beautiful day. I think it was last Wednesday. And, you know, driving by, looking at Block 33, thinking, how's the sun, how's that building going to fit in with that recessing sun? You know, and I confessed, yeah, you know, it's going to create a shadow. But then I looked around me, and I realized there was absolutely nobody else on Southwest Northwest 4th at 6 o'clock on a sunny Wednesday evening. It was a ghost town. If I had my bowling ball with me, I could have taken it out at Cooch Street and rolled it all the way down to Gleason and would not have interfered with traffic or pedestrians. And I think that's the reality we have to square ourselves with here. Is this old town, Chinatown, Japantown has become a ghost town? And we've got to do something to catalyze development here. I think this project does that, and it produces more affordable housing to boot at 200 feet. And I don't think it's going to detract from an historic district. I mean, what's the purpose of an historic district if nobody's there to appreciate it? And so I think we need to infuse this area with people and commercial opportunities and retail opportunities. And so that's why I'm offering this amendment.
And how do you vote?
He doesn't vote yet.
No, we haven't voted yet. I'm just offering my argument in support.
Oh, very good. Call the roll.
Fish.
Well, I'm in the uncomfortable position of agreeing with the mayor, who now disagrees with his original amendment. But I still think you were more persuasive last week than this week, Mayor. And you offered your amendment to 160 feet. I thought that was a reasonable balance to a lot of concerns that we heard. I will tell you that having had some additional conversations with people that are much deeper thinkers about this subject than I am, I do find there's something frustrating about this conversation, which is we're debating numbers and matrices. We're not debating standards. And really, in a historic district, we should be talking about standards. We should be talking about light and air and texture and what's the impact of new development on surrounding buildings, and we should be looking at context. And I mean, that's what a historic district is. But what we're actually doing is just talking about numbers, and it doesn't tell the whole story. As I try to balance a number of things, and I'm reminded that we had this big discussion about Mr. Menasche's property, and the council was firm about not going above 160, I just don't see why we're going to move off of that. So while I appreciate the intent of this, I think it's out of whack. And therefore, I'm going to vote no on the Saltzman amendment as amended, and I intend to vote yes on the original Wheeler amendment. No.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly.
Well, Commissioner Saltzman, I wouldn't have pegged you for a bowler. I hope you won't hold this vote against me, because I'd love to take you bowling sometime. If it weren't for the historic district, I would have no reservation about raising the heights to 200. We need more density in the central city. But I do feel that 160 strikes a more reasonable balance between those two kind of competing concerns. So I vote no.
Fritz.
No.
Wheeler.
So this is not an easy vote for me. I've heard really good, persuasive, articulate arguments on both sides of this. I obviously support it based on the line of questioning that I've put forward here. So my official vote on this would be aye. However, I believe my colleagues have made some really good arguments here. I want to remember what we're talking about. I mean, we have vision versus reality. And the vision that Commissioner Fish just articulated is a really good vision. However, the historic asset we're actually talking about is a surface parking lot in the middle of Old Town Chinatown that nobody's been able to pencil out a development on for decades. And so what I want and what my hope is and what I will be working very, very hard towards with Prosper Portland is not missing this development cycle for an opportunity that a lot of people, not everybody, as Commissioner Fritz rightly said, she's correct. There, you know, I've gotten calls and emails from people who don't like this at anything over 125 feet. But I don't think a surface parking lot is very respectful of the history and traditions and the culture of the district either. So the Saltzman Amendment fails, and we'll move to C1 as amended. Please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
So my understanding from the chief planner is that this site will be designated with an asterisk in the zoning code maps to... No?
An asterisk, no.
So this site alone has the... condition that Commissioner Fish just mentioned.
Oh, correct. In terms of that, it'll be, this is the one block in the historic district where that bonus provision will apply, yes.
Right. So it's the very definition of a spot zone, and it's very unfortunate that it impacts the only cultural district that impacts the community of color in our city. No.
Wheeler.
So it's better than it would have been. It provides consistency with what we're doing on the block on the other side at 160 feet. It provides consistency with what staff is telling me has already been approved by the Historic Commission and or the City Council previously. So I feel very comfortable that it will protect the integrity of the Historic District. We still have the check and balance of the Historic Commission, and they're good people, and their intentions are honorable, and they bring a lot of experience as volunteers to the table. To be able to provide not just any development, but a really positive development. And I will commit to the developer as the commissioner in charge of Prosper Portland that I will work with them to see if we can't get this going in the near term as opposed to years from now. I'd like to see it happen. I vote aye. The amendment passes. Thank you. So we move on to, I believe it's Top of Bank. The amendments are related to the top of the bank. We have E1 related to structures and E2 that contain commentary on the default top of bank that I support and that we don't need to move on. I want to talk about E1. This is an amendment that was introduced as a courtesy to the Port of Portland, and we're continuing to work with them to address their very specific concerns. But I've looked into this, and I've decided to withdraw the amendment. Since this amendment actually codifies the way that the Bureau of Development Services currently approaches measuring the top of bank, I think that leaving this in the code will help make things clearer for the applicant. Is there any objection to my withdrawing that amendment? So we'll move on then to move second, hold public hearings on new amendments. And this is the public hearing portion of the hearing for people who actually want to participate. We have a few new amendments that we need to move. And second, before we get started, Troy, do you want to start us off?
Yes.
Thank you. And could you introduce yourself for the record, please?
Yes, Troy Doss, Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I'm here to talk first, or only, about North Pearl Height Amendments. And just as a quick little history on this, these are actually provisions that go all the way back to 1990. They were part of the Northwest Triangle. And so when we adopted the North Pearl Plan in 2008, we just renamed these provisions, these height provisions, to be the North Pearl Height Standard. Moving forward, we fully intended to keep elements of those as part of Central City 2035. And what we have right now, as you can see on the diagram, buildings that go up to 100 feet are allowed by right along the North Pearl waterfront. Once you get above 100 feet, you're required to have a maximum width north-south of no more than 120 feet. When we reworked the provisions, kind of restructured them, we lost that language that said above 100 feet. And so what it really resulted in is it would say all buildings, if you take advantage of the height, you have to be no wider than 120 feet from bottom to top. And that was not what we intended. So we're coming back to say, oops, we'd like to go back to what the original intent of the regulation was, which is if you get above 100 feet, the tower massing above 100 feet can be no wider than 120 feet.
So, Troy, if I understand this, this amendment is a correction that returns the code to its current meeting, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so I move that. Is there a second?
Second.
Very good. Bird safe glazing. I'm moving this amendment because the intent is to apply this standard adjacent to an eco roof. It was already implied in what we were doing, but now the code will very explicitly state it so that there's no confusion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Is there anything else that we need to talk about on that one? That seems pretty self-apparent. Yeah.
No, that's it.
Very Thank good. You. FAR transfer from historic resources. You better tell us a little bit about this one.
Yes, this is also just a minor change that you see on the screen here. After further discussions with BDS and building code specialists, we realized we needed to be very clear about somebody that wanted to come in a historic resource to upgrade their building. They really have one choice. They have to show us that they meet or exceed the structural code. And the way the code was worded, it seemed to give them a choice of in that, and we did not want that. This is a strictly just a clarification. And the other small piece of this is the section in which this will be located in the building code is going to change in the future. So they wanted us to be less specific. So
all
that's
right.
The extent.
Very good. So I'm moving this amendment because it makes clear the property owners need to provide documentation showing that they are seismically upgraded already or that they will sign an agreement with the city to do so. Do I have a second?
Second.
Commissioner Saltzman seconds. All right, public testimony. Everybody's favorite opportunity, especially ours, to hear about these three new amendments we just moved and seconded. If you want to testify, find lovely Carla over here. She is our council clerk.
Yeah, I think there was some confusion. They had signed up for C1, but they both left.
They both left. Okay. Does anybody else want to testify on any of these amendments? All right. Very good.
Do we have any other amendments that have been offered?
Not that I'm aware of.
I think mine comes later.
Later in the day.
Yeah, for the second part.
Yeah.
Okay, so that concludes our hearing on these particular amendments. I'd like to close the written record now, but leave the written record open until April 11th at 4:30 p.m., time certain when we'll come back for a vote on any remaining amendments. So if people would like to comment on these, they're certainly welcome to. Sally, can you go over the next steps, please?
Yes, just a clarification on that. You're closing the oral record now, but leaving the written record open.
Yeah, that is correct.
Yeah.
Yes, sorry, there's a typo in my cheat sheet. I apologize.
Yes. So next steps, these are the sessions that are still on the calendar for Central City 2035, just for your review. So we'll be back here on April 11th at 4:30, time certain, to vote on those three amendments that you were just subject to the public hearing.
All right, good.
Okay. Thank you very much.
There being no further business, that portion of the hearing is now adjourned. Please call item 329. We're now back in session.